This episode is sponsored by Realtor.com, who wants you to take advantage of your free profile on Realtor.com by claiming and completing your free profile, adding a photo, and all of the information that puts you head and shoulders above the competition. You're on your way to receiving free leads, helping search engines find you, and staying top of mind with past clients. To learn more about claiming your free profile, go to realtor.com/profile.
Welcome to the Real View Podcast, where Ohio realtors connect you to innovators and influencers, keeping you with the real view of real estate. Whether you're a broker, agent, first-time homebuyer, industry leader, or just happen to stumble upon our podcast today, you can expect to hear tips, tools, tricks, interesting information, and so much more from the experts in Ohio's real estate game.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Real View Podcast. I am your host, Allison Wiley. Joining me today, our special guest is Hannah Cha. She is a real estate development advisor and founder of her own business, which we are going to get into in a minute and hear a little bit more about. She has been a part of over $4 billion in new development projects across the Americas, an industry-leading strategist. Her fierce determination and relentless hustle quickly established her among the region's most accomplished real estate executives. She has earned an extraordinary depth of experience in all facets of new development, marketing, sales, and operations, which has made her the trusted partner of top real estate developers and investors on over 30 plus notable urban and resort properties. Welcome on to the show. We are so happy to have you.
Thank you so much, Allison, and thank you for that amazing intro.
Yes, and before we get started in today's topic, which I'm super excited to be talking about, we're going to be talking about building teams, how to do it, why we need to do it. I mean, I talk to brokers around the state all the time, and they're like, how do I get good agents? How do I make them productive? How do I build our teams? How can I recruit better? How can I, you know, be more functioning, you know, in my office? So I think this is going to be such a timely and important topic. But before we get started into that, I would love to hear a little bit more about you, your career journey, and how you got started in real estate.
Yeah, you know, my journey in real estate was really, it was a matter of all of the stars aligning together, kind of being at the right place at the right time. I had no real intention of getting into real estate or building a career in this industry. So when I was introduced to real estate really at a young age of my early 20s, without having any real background or context or goals, right, to aspire in this business, it was more for me an opportunity into a space that was interesting to me because I didn't know much about it. And I was just very much open to what new experiences and new things I could be exposed to and grow from. And so when I got into this business, my first gig was for a developer, but I was, you know, at the bottom of the food chain because, again, I had no experience selling at one of the high-rise condos in LA. Really, I started as a sales receptionist. But as, you know, I got my feet wet and the more I allowed myself to be exposed to what everybody was doing and all of the different parts of this machine that was built to create a marketing strategy, execute marketing strategy, all of the different salespeople involved, you know, working with the transaction coordinator, understanding the different nuances of mortgage financing. I was like, wow, there's so much in this business. And it was also fascinating to me. And, you know, it was really a matter of finding this thing that I found a bit of interest in and going, okay, well, let's try it. I have nothing to lose. And then all just kind of went from there. And the deeper I got in, the more I was fascinated by it. And I think this industry is constantly evolving and there's something always happening and shifting. You know, it's market dependent, but it's also kind of how you're positioning yourself. Like there's new things to be learned every single day. And that's really my favorite part of this business. And it's how I've been able to stay in this and grow for 16 plus years now.
You're so spot on. And I think, you know, when you talk about just how everything changes so quickly and, you know, you have to stay up you know, with it on a consistent and constant basis. I mean, even what we're seeing now, we're undergoing, you know, some major lawsuits and how, you know, we're getting paid could be changing in the next couple years. I mean, you just really do have to always stay on top of it and you can never get bored. I don't see how you could ever get bored with how quickly, you know, our industry changes.
Exactly. Well, and if you're getting bored, it means you're really not in it and you're not trying to build your business and really grow within the industry. So there's no room for boredom, I say, if you're serious about it.
No, that's very true. You shouldn't be bored if you're doing this job right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, I would kind of love to hear a little bit more about you and what you do in your company and share with us what you do in your work.
Yeah, the core pillar of my business is in development, marketing, and sales, more so today in a consulting and advisory role. I go in essentially as, you know, the developer's representative to play the conductor of the orchestra, I guess is the best way to put it, where if you're a developer is building a new project, whether it's a condo building or a condo hotel or mixed use building or anything that has for sale real estate in it, I go in as early as I can, which is kind of the best way to properly market position and create a strategy around the brand, the lifestyle, identify who the target demo and end user is, to be able to build a strategic program that really resonates and connects to that end user so that the sales team can successfully identify and convert people into, you know, from buyers into homeowners. And so right now, you know, my business has expanded over the last couple of years with COVID and everything, because before COVID, there was so much more, you know, having to be on site, right? And we were all, everything was in person. And now it's almost like we've digitalized our life. And so I'm able to work in the same capacity, but I say much more efficiently. And in the same way, last year, I launched an online masterclass and really kind of built out the foundational pieces of what's involved and how to kind of maneuver through the different intricacies. So I think there's so much opportunity there for agents to really grow and expand their business and grow and expand their teams, because selling new homes is really exciting. You know, and new development up, you know, sellers in their homes, they didn't want to sell because that meant they had to buy into another home with a much higher interest rate, right? But home builders are still building, developers are still building, and they still have to sell. And so there's so much opportunity if you understand new development, new construction, how to position that offering to essentially your buyers. And when you're working with a developer who has to sell 20 homes or 200 homes, you have a bit more leverage in how to negotiate. And if interest rates are high, you know, last year, a lot of developers were offering buyers interest rate buy downs, you know, seller credit to help with their closing costs. And there's so many ways to leverage that if you understand how this business works, right? So I launched that online program last year, which is the second pillar of my business. The newest pillar is what we call the collective marketplace for marketing prongs and, you know, different partners that get involved in building a real estate business, really to create a marketplace for agents and developers. Exactly who their strategic partner should be as it relates to branding, digital marketing, SEO, social media, you know, whatever it is, because there's so many options out there. And I feel like we waste a lot of time going through this vetting process and we're never really sure who actually does what and if you're actually going to do what you say you're going to do and how is this agency better than that agency? Like, why do you charge this much, but they charge that much? And so the marketplace is really a centralized, I want to say, one-stop shop for real estate professionals that are looking to identify the right partner for all of these different parts of their business, where we've already done the vetting. I have experience working with all of these people, like their prices are, you know, fair, reasonable, and competitive. They actually do the thing they're going to say they're going to do. So that kind of encompasses the business of HANA today.
I love it. And thank you for that little recap and sharing a little bit more about you and what you do. I always like to get a good background and feel for who you are, who we're talking to today, what you're bringing to the table and your kind of perspective on things. I think it gives good context for our listeners. So thank you for sharing. So I'm going to dive into our topic today, which is all about teams. And you kind of nailed it and explained a little bit your work with your teams, with teams and how you advise, you know, in the work that you do. But I kind of want to start at the beginning. What are the current trends that we're seeing with teams these days? What are some of the challenges that you're seeing out there that exist in this landscape? And talk to us a little bit just about the overall vibe and where things stand with teams today.
Well, you know, when we talk about trends in kind of building a team, I think this industry, because it's so fickle, the most recurring situation that happens is, okay, suddenly I'm busy and now I need to hire an assistant, I need to hire a marketing girl, and I need to hire all of these people. And then, you know, the market flips upside down and it's like, okay, I can't afford to have any of these people. So they're all like, I got to let them all go. Right. And so we're very quick to react to the situation that we're in right now. And I always say, sure, you have to be nimble and you have to be flexible and willing to pivot accordingly for you to sustain your business. But in that same way, I think when you're hiring people, it's so important. Like, I kind of do it backwards. Like, I don't look at it like, okay, I need a marketing girl. So like, now I'm going to go find a marketing girl. I like to meet people that I resonate with, you know, that I connect with. I feel like we share the same work ethic, the same kind of values, the same perspective in the way that we do our thing, whatever your specialty thing is. And then I like to fit those people within those specialty buckets to kind of build my team. And look, sometimes it's not always that easy. But I think if you're going after, especially with agent teams now, where you have, say, 10 buyer's agents and, you know, 4 selling agents. If you actually sit down and have a conversation with all those people, like, I can almost guarantee that the thing that they've been assigned to do on your team isn't necessarily the thing that they're best at or the thing that they love the most. And if you can identify what people really are good at and what they love to do, they excel. You get much better and you're able to grow in that capacity so much more quickly because you're actually enjoying what you're doing and you're focused on the thing that you're really good at. And so when, you know, agents are building teams, I think it's really important to identify kind of what it is you need, but also make sure that you're providing them what they need so that they can grow and excel, right? So it's a mutual exchange of agreement and kind of growth terms to build a prosperous team that's going to work long-term.
Yeah, I think so too. And I love your approach. And I think I kind of share the same approach as you in the sense that, like, I look for who the person is, you know, and then I try to figure that out first and then match them to how we can best fit them in based on that. And I think a lot of people maybe don't use that approach or use, you know, are out there to say, I need to find a person with this skill set and then fit them into my team, regardless of who they are as a person. You know, so I think that that's interesting because I think I share the same approach in the sense that I try to figure out who I can mesh with, who can mesh with us, the personality types, because that's almost just as important as the person's skill set. You know what I mean? And so I love that you, I love that you share that same perspective that I do.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when you're willing to have this like mutual foundation of back and forth conversation and wanting feedback as well as giving feedback and sitting down to plan together, strategize together, and being able to hold space where people can say, you know what, Allison, like, I understand how that specific role or task is important, but like, I'm not very good at that. And I don't know if that'll be the best use of my time. Like, I'm willing to help where I can, but I don't think I should be the one focused on doing that thing. And just having that space where somebody can speak up and say that, I think goes such a long ways.
This episode of The Real View is brought to you by the Ohio Association of Community Colleges. Ohio's network of community colleges provides accessible training that accommodates the busy lifestyles of aspiring real estate professionals at half the price of a traditional university. With convenient locations in every part of the state, as well as online options, Ohio's community colleges are your smart choice for pre-licensing education. For more details or to start the journey to a real estate career, visit the education page at ohiorealtors.org and then click on the pre-license course locations.
Yeah, I think that's really a good indicator of, you know, a healthy and thriving team. And it sounds great, right? Like, wouldn't we all be able to say like, I don't know that I could do that. But I think in today's environment, there's so much pressure on just saying yes. Like we have to do it. We have to do whatever we're asked for. How do we as leaders and managers create that safe space or, you know, make sure that our team members know that they can say that? How and what tips do you have for us to kind of create that environment where that is something that is the natural culture of the team?
Well, look, I always say the best leaders lead by example and not by dictation, right? And so in order to create that kind of space, you almost have to start putting yourself in that situation first and sharing a sense of vulnerability and saying, like, I know I'm the team leader, but these are the things I'm not great at. And I know that. And that's why I need you to help me fill in these gaps. You know, the other thing that I like to do too is when you're building a team and I think that a lot of times we are in this position of where we want to constantly say yes. But sometimes, like you as the leader, might have the ability to see potential that that individual may not recognize. Right. So when you are assigning somebody a particular project, task, or role, and they're saying, "Whoa, I don't know, Allison, I've never done that. I don't know if I can." As a leader, if you can help these individuals recognize the big picture goal of why that's important and why you believe they could do it, and then help to put together like a step-by-step plan of how to get from A to Z, it gives people a different level of comfort and, you know, assurance that, okay, you have my back, you're setting me up to succeed. You're not just throwing me in the fire and hoping I don't burn alive. And I think we forget to do that a lot of times, especially, you know, when things get busy and things get crazy, it's like, okay, you have to do this, you have to do this, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, okay, but how do I do that? And it's not always good to assume that people can figure things out, especially if they've never done it before. I mean, sure, we want them to be able to, but as a leader, that's where you have to come in and be able to recognize that and say, okay, you know, you've never done this before. This is why this thing is important. These are the steps you should take to get to the end goal. And I'm going to be here as an additional resource. And guess what? Like, I don't know how to do this either, Allison, but we're going to figure it out together. And just having that sense of camaraderie and like, okay, you have my back, does wonders.
Yeah, it goes a long way in helping build that environment where everyone is feeling safe and it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to ask for help. And I love too, just what you said about leading from example. You know, I think, you know, what you said is be who you want people to act and look up to. And I think when you're doing that, when you're leading from that place, that's really powerful. And that will show your team a lot into what kind of person you are, what kind of environment, what you want and how you're going to treat them. So I think those are two really great strategies. And when we talk about other mistakes that you see people make, assuming that people can handle things, assuming that they're going to feel comfortable with certain tasks, what other mistakes do you see people make when it comes to building teams or maybe assumptions that may be out there on how things should be done?
Well, you know, I think in this business, especially for agents that do well for themselves, a lot of times that whether it's, you know, quick growth or if you're at the top of this industry in your market, I think it's very common for the ego to completely consume you and take over your identity. And when I say things like you have to lead by example, you know, as a leader, I think it's no job in this business should be too big or too small for you. You know, if you have an assistant that is doing assistant work, it should come from a place of like, okay, you're a part of this team to accomplish the bigger goal, not because you're an assistant and your job is to do these menial tasks. And so when for agents, if you can just keep your ego in check, I mean, really, it's not just for agents. It's, I think, people in general. Get your ego in check because it doesn't do any good. And it's, you know, that constant, like staying grounded in a place of humility and gratitude. And, you know, like I have been on large teams working on, you know, billion-dollar projects where we'll have an event, for example, and I show up 30 minutes before we're going to open our doors. And for whatever reason, like housekeeping didn't come through and there's no toilet paper, trash bins are full. And like, guess what? I'm not yelling at my assistant to go empty the trash and get toilet paper. I'm like, okay, I'm going to empty the trash. You go find toilet paper. And I'm there doing the thing with them. And that's like the leading by example. Like, just because I'm your boss doesn't mean that like my ego is so big that I can't take out the trash, you know? And so I think we forget that those little gestures go such a long way.
Yeah, they really do. And I think it also like comes down to just making sure everyone, you know, is in the roles that they're made for, that they're good at, you know, like you mentioned earlier, you know, finding the right people for the right skill set, making sure that you have people who are doing things that they love and that they're good at. And then just making people feel appreciated and that you're right there alongside of them, that there's no hierarchy, that there's no, you know, I'm above you or whatever, that everyone is feeling like they're in this together and they're functioning, that everyone has an important role to play and everyone's role is just as important as the next, because without one person, you know, things could look completely different. And I think, you know, that's kind of what I'm hearing you say too, is just making sure people feel good and that they're in the right place and doing the right things.
Exactly. You know, and I will say though, if you are somebody that has a team leader, has a boss, the other thing I always remind people is never compromise your own integrity and your own values for the sake of the job, right? Don't just appease your boss or client or whoever if it means compromising what you believe in and what your ethical values are. And if, you know, whatever holds your integrity, like never compromise that. And if you're ever put in a position where you feel like you have to compromise your integrity to get a job done, you know, it might not be the best role or situation for you. So there's a bigger conversation to be had there. And I can say, you know, in my own personal experience, I have very much so, especially in the earlier part of my career, where I was asked to do things that really made me go, like, but can we actually do that? I don't know. You know, and I think in that sense, there should be this opportunity to really ask the question, like, wait, is that ethical or is that completely lying? You know, and you know, that's kind of step one. And then it's like, yeah, if it's kind of lying, but we're in the gray space. If you're not comfortable with that, like you can say, maybe ask somebody else to do it, or maybe you got to do it. Cause like, I'm not, like, I don't want to jeopardize my reputation, my license, you know, who I am.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Stay true to who you are, you know, and listen to your gut instincts. If something's feeling off, or you know, you're getting red flags or alarm bells are going off, you know, inside your head, listen to them and stay true to yourself. Nothing is worth compromising who you are and what you believe in. So that's a really great point. I love that you brought it up. Okay, so now that we have a good solid foundation, we're feeling good about our team, what does it look like? What are kind of the sky's the limit? You know, what do you see once we have these teams in place of how functioning we can be, of all the goals that we can achieve? Talk to us a little bit just about how do we use this high functioning team? What are the opportunities that exist out there once we do get to this level with our team?
Well, I think the first step is really, it's important for me when I'm in these team situations where I want to know what every person's kind of long-term goal within the business is. And I want to be able to help them, you know, move forward and grow into the bigger picture end game, even if that means no longer working with me, even if it means going off on your own and starting your own team. Like, I want to be able to support that. So I say the greatest ace teams today is, you know, you are functioning together as one unit and driving, essentially everybody is steering in the same direction to get the job done, whether it's a listing, whether it's preparing for an event, whether you're going after a $1 billion project. But everybody has kind of mini goals for their own growth and their own long-term, whatever place or thing they want to be. And I think the most efficient teams right now are seeing that you have to be able to diversify kind of what you're doing and outside of just basic real estate, right? Content in this industry has kind of turned into its own monster. And so when you think about marketing, I think the ACE teams kind of have their marketing dialed in, where somebody is a semi-content creator or establishing some sort of social presence to showcase what they're doing. You know, you have another person who is focused on business development, and whether that's cold calling or door knocking, or, you know, what I used to do, jump construction fences and try to go talk to the GC, you know, allowing people to do that too without losing focus of the goal. I always say, you know, when leaders are putting together like their business plan or like goals for the year, it's so important to sit down with the team and have them be a part of that planning, because it creates a sense of accountability. You know, they understand what they're doing and why they're doing it. And it also provides value for them, and in that you value their opinion and their role and position within the team. And so as all of these things are moving, you know, I talked a little bit about new development. When things shifted in the market like it did last year, right? Even if you were to have one or two people that kind of became some sort of new development, new construction guru on the team, even if it's just as a buyer's agent, right? Understanding what sort of questions to ask, what sort of things to look for, how to, you know, drive negotiations and so forth. Now it's like, okay, the resale market has shifted drastically. There's no inventory, nobody's moving, but let's now try to shift our business and bring our buyers that are looking for homes into new construction properties. Or maybe those, you know, the new business people are out now trying to get in front of these developers saying, hey, we have a team here, an ACE team doing all of these different things. And like, we are the perfect team to represent you. And I think with real estate agents in a traditional sense, they don't really think about new development as an opportunity. It's like, oh, I have a client and he's building one house. Sure, that's new construction, but it's like one house. You know, if you are going after a building, a condo building that has 6 condos, 12 condos, or maybe 50 condos, it's like now you're actually utilizing the entire team's resources and skill sets to build a longer pipeline that will benefit the whole team. And it's not just, you know, going after one listing at a time and then you have to do it again. But it going after new development projects is really a way for an entire team to get fully involved, because anybody that has sold new construction or sold new development knows that like one person cannot do it. I don't care how good you are. Like, I've been in this business exclusively for 16 years and like I cannot do all of these jobs by myself. I mean, maybe I could if I didn't sleep, eat, or shower, or do anything else and I lived there, you know, but realistically, you can't. And so if you have a great team where everybody knows their parts, where everybody's playing their strengths, you as a team leader, now you're just opening up another funnel to expand more opportunities for not just you, but for the whole team. And it's an exciting venture because new development projects are fun. And it's so dynamic, you know, and prices are 11% at minimum higher than resale. So it's, you know, again, and then you're building a longer term pipeline. So there's so many different ways to make this exciting and get the entire team engaged.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where the magic happens. You know, when you have everybody functioning at that high level, you're going after these new business opportunities, new developments. And I think today, I was reading an article before we started recording, and NIR projects new construction to be up in 2024.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this kind of slow period that we were in, I think pandemic caused a lot of it. We're now coming out of that and we're seeing this huge boom in construction, this need for inventory, this need for new housing. So now's the time to get on that. So I love that you brought that up and get your teams in line to be prepared to go after these new developments because it's really a great opportunity.
I read that exact same article, Allison, because there's 930,000 new construction homes in the pipeline in 2024. And they're saying, you know, actually Cincinnati, Ohio is number four in the country for new homes right now, new home pending sales. And Cincinnati has grown 12% month over month and 41% month over year in terms of pending sales that are a product of new construction.
Yep. So there you go. There's the data hot off the press. It's happened. So make sure you're prepared for it.
Exactly.
Anna, well, I want to thank you for joining me today, for your insights on how we can make this crazy world of team management and teams work, and for all the opportunities that lie ahead. I think, you know, people in real estate, it might have been a tough couple years, you know, coming out of the craziness of COVID, but I think we're in a really exciting place in this industry. And thank you for sharing with how we can make the most of what's ahead for us. I really appreciate you coming on and joining me today.
Of course. Thank you, Allison. I really enjoyed our time together today.
Me too. And to all of our listeners, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be back with you next week. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to The Real View. That wraps up today's episode. You can keep up with the latest on the podcast at ohiorealtors.org/TheRealView and on Apple or Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Have questions, comments, or suggestions? We want to hear from you. Email us at podcast@ohiorealtors.org. We'll see you next time.